Well, as promised, we go to the Middle East, and we're going to be talking with David Dolan. David Dolan focuses on the Middle East. He gives us our Middle East news update. David, lots to talk about. I'm going to get it right underway with you. Israeli Air Force Chief of Staff, the general there, Amir Eshel, is making a statement there could be a surprise war at any time. This is a threat coming from Syria. You've been talking about it. It looks like now the military in Israel is saying the exact same thing.
Well, they are, Jimmy, and we had the first direct clash between Syrian soldiers and Israeli soldiers in many, many years. It took place earlier this week on the Golan Heights. Of course, that follows early this month Israeli airstrikes on a convoy carrying weapons to Hezbollah in Lebanon, and again a strike on the main nuclear, the main chemical research facility. Thank God it's not nuclear, as far as we know, that Syria has on the outskirts of Damascus. At that time, Bashar Assad, the dictator of Syria, said that they would respond. He later said that Palestinian groups were being invited to attack Israel from the Golan Heights. Then Hezbollah's leader, Sheikh Nasrallah, said they would support Syria and they would join in any action to take back the Golan Heights. So we have, for the first time in many years, the Syrian regime and its allies saying that war is imminent, that they will strike again to get back the Golan Heights. And of course, Israel took that in the 1967 Six-Day War. And Jimmy, I think you know, but most of your listeners may not, that this area was originally intended after World War I, when the League of Nations was formed and they gave a mandate to Britain and to France to form governments in the area. This area was supposed to be part of the Jewish state. And in the end, the French, who were allied with Syria and Lebanon, were able to get that upper ground above the Sea of Galilee as part of Syria. But Israel took it in 67. It was, of course, a plateau for attack upon Israel from 48 until 67. Many strikes. A kibbutz nearby was destroyed. The Israelis are not about to give up that high ground. There were peace negotiations about it in the 1990s, and the proposal was that Israel would give that back. That didn't happen. And they're certainly not going to give it back in war. They're ready, as Eshel said, they're ready for any eventuality up in the north. The forces are completely on alert. Hezbollah is heavily armed, and of course we've been told by their leader and Iran's leaders that they will strike at Haifa and Tel Aviv if there's a new war, that they will wipe those two cities off of the map, they even say. So Israel is facing potentially a very unpleasant, to say the least, situation, war, but they realize they have maybe no choice here. However, we have to remember, Jimmy, the opposition to Assad, the Sunni Muslim-led rebel forces, the insurgents fighting against the Assad regime, are also very anti-Israel, and they actually condemned the Israeli airstrike on that convoy and on that chemical weapons site. Kind of like Iraq in 2003, the Israelis certainly did not like Saddam Hussein. He was supporting the Palestinian terrorists, sending money to their families and all of that. But they were afraid that a Shiite Iraqi government would come up if he was overthrown, and it would be hostile towards them as well. And that has been the case in Iraq. So there's really no good outcome for Israel in terms of what might happen in Syria, but they have to deal with each day, and what's happening today are these escalating clashes in the area and continuing flow of refugees from Syria, and the Golan remains very much a trigger point.
Yes, it does. And in fact, the opposition, along with Bashar Assad's regime, both of them saying, whoever's in charge, we want the Golan Heights back. And as you were answering the question, my mind went back to biblical times when 3,500 years ago, the children of Israel are coming into the promised land. God allowed the half-tribe of Manasseh to go to Bashan. And in fact, the word Golan, I think, is used four times in the scriptures, talking about that particular piece of real estate. Well, continuing on as relates to Syria and their threat to Israel, I understand now they have their weapons, Syria does, I'm talking about, a very advanced missile that is trained on Tel Aviv, which would be the population center down that Mediterranean coast. If indeed there's another Israeli airstrike against Syria, they're going to attack, as you said a moment ago, some of the cities, which would include Tel Aviv.
Well, and the Israelis are very aware of those missiles that Syria has. Of course, they have one of the largest chemical arsenals on Earth. Some experts believe it is the largest, more than the Russians have, more than the Chinese or the United States. And this is a country of just 22 million people, so it's, you know, out of proportion, to say the least. And the Israelis are very concerned about that. Sarin nerve gas, in particular, is a very deadly agent. That's what the UN says was used up in Aleppo and other couple other places in the north of Syria by the Assad regime. They have these weapons, and they are terrible. Just a droplet of sarin nerve gas on your skin anywhere can shut down your heart, shut down your internal system, and you die within seconds. And this is a very deadly poison, and Syria has it. So if they want to use that against Israel, they have to remember that the Israelis have now a declared nuclear capability. Ehud Olmert, the former prime minister, Israel does have nuclear bombs. We knew that, of course, but confirming that. And they have always said, Jimmy, and I point this out as I speak around the world, Israeli leaders have always said, and I've lived in Israel since 1980, so I've heard this many times, we will not be the first to introduce weapons of mass destruction, but if they're used against us, we will be the second. They don't put it quite that clearly, but they say our response will be 7 times greater or 100 times greater, or they say things like that. So they're not eager to see these weapons used, obviously, against their population centers, but if they are, then whoever dares to do that is going to face a big payday, and the Israelis have been warning about that for some time.
Yes, they certainly have. Looking at the Gaza Strip, Hamas is in charge down there in that piece of real estate, and they have encouraged students to begin a campaign. It's a cartoon character, the logo. It's individual, the colors of the Palestinian flag, and he's throwing a Star of David into a trash can, and the whole theme is to deal with the idea of cleaning up the world of Jews. In other words, they want to rid the world of Jews. Boy, this is evidence of why there's problems, conflict between the Israelis and the Palestinians.
Well, exactly, and you know, the Israelis have said all along that we're willing to make peace, we're willing to make sacrifices. You know, the withdrawal from Gaza in 2005 was very painful for the Israelis. 8,000 Jews uprooted from their homes there. Agricultural settlements were destroyed. And all this to give it to Hamas, essentially. But Ariel Sharon at the time, the prime minister, was hopeful that this might be enough to pacify them, satisfy them. Turned out not to be the case, as Benjamin Netanyahu and the current defense minister of Israel, Ya'alon, and others said at the time, this isn't going to satisfy them. They're going to continue with their jihad war because their goal is our ultimate destruction. They don't want a Jewish state, however small, however big, be it Tel Aviv alone or its suburbs, that's too much. They don't want any Jewish state here. They want to see us destroyed, so we have no choice but to fight this war. And it's kind of like the discussion in America right now about drones and Afghanistan and Iraq and all these different things. The majority of Israelis certainly recognize this as a war of annihilation that their enemies have declared upon them, not they upon their enemies, but their enemies upon them. You know, the Israelis have always said, we don't want to be enemies. We want to make peace. We want to settle this thing. We want you to live and have your lives good and a good economy and your children to grow up in peace and tranquility. But what are they doing? They're training their children still to this day to hate Jews and to kill Jews and to destroy Israel. So the war continues.
And this conflict is going to continue on, and we will continue to report all that's happening, all the activities there in the Middle East, and we'll do that with David Dolan, who gives us our Middle East news update. David, thank you so very much, my good friend. We'll talk again real soon.
Thank you, Jimmy. God bless.